We had 5 days before the show opened. The techies worked shifts building the Cosmic Angel. They kept trying it out on the robots.
Oh, darn, there goes another one.
They finally got it to stop smashing the robots, but...
Ooh, hear that? A crash, but no tinkle.
I think we got it, Ruby.
Andor, no tinkle doesn't mean that thing isn't lethal.
I know, but you can control it.
Oh, yeah? How?
With a remote. It's part of a suit that you'll wear. It's woven into the fibers.
A remote suit?
Yes, remote wear. By touching different parts of your body, it will alter the game's degree of aggressiveness.
So why does it keep crushing robots?
We've been testing it at its most extreme setting.
Why do we have an extreme setting, Andor?
Well, the spectators have to believe it's deadly.
How thoughtful. So when do I see the suit?
You can see it now. Angel, will you come out? Her angelness will model the suit for you.
How do I look, Andor?
Wow, you look... angelness, you're just... That's just... Wow.
Andor, I don't see a suit.
You don't?
I see an awful lot of Angel, but where's the suit?
Well, it's a little skimpy.
Skimpy? I mean, why bother?
Well, men like this sort of thing, Ruby.
Yeah, I'm back on Suma Nula, but here, who knows what a pair finds appealing?
I guess we'll find out, Ruby.
I guess we won't, Andor.
But Ruby...
Listen, I don't care if it's skin tight, I just want it to cover some skin. Got it?
Whatever you say, Ruby.
The Dark Angel of Doom was a little ominous. Oopoopa told us that the Ilubu believed the universe was formed by what they call the Big Boo. The Boo started it with a big bang or a big boo. It was sort of their equivalent of God or some principle in the universe that had a sense of humor. They believe that when they're not being present, you know, walking around unconscious, lost in thought, whatever, then something will happen to wake them up, like a kick in the pants or an event that startles you, like, you know, like boo. And of course, death too is just another part of the Big Boo. We were all disappointed when we discovered that Ruby and the Dark Angel of Doom translated into their language as Ruby and the Big Boo. They found it curious that we humans love to entertain ourselves by scaring ourselves, but they accepted it as another form of boo. Opening night at the Digital Circus. The inflatable big top is packed with pears. The first night is for the dignitaries, their families, anyone who's anyone on Ilubu Wa. They come from everywhere. All those important Ilubus, their little pear shapes stuffed into the seats, sitting there in anticipation, eager to experience our alien form of entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished Ilubus and other noble life forms, welcome to the Digital Circus!
It started with the trapeze monks, swinging in their robes, doing loop-de-loops with the greatest of ease. The Ilubus loved it. And then out came the monsters, giant mechanical animals. They're really hollow. They fold up. They're easy to pack. Still, when they're inflated, they look real. There was what we called a wart snort, a big fire-snorting warthog ridden by a scantily clad android. Then a giant T-Rex sort of leaping lizard covered in feathers called a hachigacha. Followed by an extremely hairy, curly-tusked, mammoth-looking thing called a rompa stomp. There was a striped saber-toothed clipper-snipper. And the prancing, razor-hoofed kickaboo. The crowd oohed with delight. Then the clowns came tumbling out. They sassed the beasts who turned on them as the clowns, all scattered, all but one. Kapoor, the clown. He was one of the silliest clowns I'd ever seen. His little rat-like face was painted in a permanent smirk. I gotta admit, he was the most daring clown, or the most stupid, sassing the mammoth rompa stomp. The beast just stood there, watching Kapoor out of the corner of its eye, as Kapoor kept running around it in circles, showing off, until finally the beast lifted its back foot and brought it down, flattening poor Kapoor. The clowns came running out with a silly-looking inflatable ambulance. They kept putting Kapoor on a stretcher, but whenever they ran for the ambulance, he fell out the bottom. When they finally stuffed Kapoor into the ambulance, the mammoth lumbered over and sat down, squashing the ambulance flat. The clowns finally hooked Kapoor with a long pole and were pulling him to safety, but the mammoth spotted it, stomped over, and put a foot on top of it. Now, I gotta tell you, Clowns don't make me laugh. They're trying so hard to be funny. And they're not. Except this time, I loved it. No matter what they do to distract the beast, it'd end up either standing on or sitting down on Kapoor.
Nothing like a flat rat, Ruby.
Yeah, I think he's still alive. You can see his little arms and legs flailing around every time it steps on him.
Oh, yeah, look at that. Good going, Kapoor!
Finally, the clowns came out with a decoy. They pumped it up, wound it up, and it started walking across the ring.
Oh, look, an inflatable Kapoor.
It was waving its arms, giving the beast an obscene gesture when the mammoth board reared up on its back legs and came down with both front feet on the inflatable Kapoor. Oh, Kapoor exploded.
Whoa, kaboom, Kapoor.
The beast was so disappointed seeing these little pieces of Kapoor all over the place, it finally lumbered off. Meanwhile, the clowns had stuffed the real Kapoor inside a barrel. As the mammoth passed by, it gave the barrel such a kick it went flying across all three rings and bounced out the exit.
Let's hear it for Kapoor, the collapsible clown! Ho, 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 ho! Yes! Let's hear it for Kapoor! What a clown!
Kapoor the clown, well, looks like he's finally found his place in the world.
Yeah, being kicked out the door.
Well, that's the way life ends for all of us, Ruby.
And then came the bareback riders riding strange six-legged Ilubu ponies, I guess you'd call them. The riders were all androids. Her angelness was the main attraction. I gotta admit, you got a handful there, Taru.
Yes, I did, Ruby.
Did?
Sad to say, we're going our separate ways.
Taru, every time you get an android built to fill your desires, she leaves you. Why is that?
Well, to be honest, Ruby, I used to blame their programming. Obviously, or so it seemed to me, there was a bug in her somewhere. But as it turned out, the bug was in me.
No.
Yes, Ruby, and that's the way it is with desires. They always come with a bug in them.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. You finally feel a burning desire. You know what?
What?
Get bored.
Really?
Really, Ruby.
So what do you do, Taru?
Well, obviously you find a new desire.
And
on it goes. Ups and downs and hots and colds. And finally, we were both bored.
She was bored with you?
It's true.
So every time you get what you desire, you get bored?
Every time.
There's no hope?
No hope. None. Every desire comes with a bug in it.
The main event, the highlight of the evening, was guess who? The lights dimmed, the ringmaster stepped into the spotlight.
Ladies, gentlemen, kind and illustrious Ilubus, do we have a treat for you tonight? All the way from the capital of our beloved planet, Sumanula, has come the most spectacular of spectaculars, a performer of no peer, who will defy death as death has never been defied before. She will attempt what no living life form has ever attempted and come out alive. The only one who went up against this magnificent monster were intelligent robots. They were mercilessly crushed to a pathetic pulp.
While the crowd was distracted, the rigging concealed up in the roof of the big top silently descended.
In the entire galaxy.
Then, on cue, the ringmaster spread his arms, and there, high above him, a three-dimensional universe unfolded.
Proudly present Ruby and the Dark Angel of Doom.
I slipped into my remote suit. It was skin tight, but at least it covered some skin. I know I can't hold my own against the bimbo androids, but standing there looking into the mirror, I must say, I still look pretty damn good. Yeah, thank God for lasers. The lights came up, and there, hovering above their heads, was the universe and me. And overseeing it all, something that we humans found pretty comical, but the Ilubus found pretty frightening, was their own Angel of Doom, Mr. Boo. It was supposed to be another manifestation of the Big Boo, but this was our version of it. And they'd never seen Mr. Boo depicted as a blood-drinking demon who was only a giant pointed head hovering in space wearing a necklace of skulls and spitting out molten balls of fire.
What
Watch yourself, Ruby!
The fire was real, by the way. The game was encapsulated in a force field so the fireballs would flash past and spatter against the sides of the field. The Alubus sat there spellbound, or confused, I couldn't tell which. Apparently, what we had created without our realizing it was something ancient, something mythical, that touched deep down into their psyches, a sort of cosmic Nak'Kree, the universe contained in a bubble where their heroes of old battled the cosmic forces until they realized the best they could do was save their skin because they could never win. And so, though I didn't know it at the time, the Alubus had come expecting to see me get terminated. Well, the show must go on. I rode on a flat disc that I could control with subtle body movements. My purpose is to dodge whatever is thrown at me, you know, just like life, and use it, that's the way you get the most points, or avoid it and still get some points. That seemed easy enough, but there were a couple of problems. One, they didn't get the remote suit to me until opening night, so I never had a rehearsal, and what they threw at me came totally unexpectedly and was scary as hell. I stepped onto the disc.
And here she is! The incredible, the incomparable, the absolutely awesome queen of the cosmos, Ruby!
I had to watch my movements. The remote suit was so sensitive, even a quick breath could alter my direction. And I didn't want to reveal the truth that I could control this monster, or thought I could. I didn't know what Mr. Boo was going to throw at me, or spit at me, because it wasn't just fiery spitballs it had in its mouth.
Stay loose, Ruby!
You can rack up points against the big Boo, but to the Alubus, it's like scoring a point against God. I mean, like, who's kidding who?
Stay cool, Ruby!
I sailed out on my disc. I felt about as safe as riding on a wafer.
Looking good, Ruby!
The glowing eyes were following me, all seven of them, all watching me kind of intently, sizing me up, this little gnat circling around its head. The mouth slowly opened.
Here comes Ruby.
And out shot a fireball the size of a small comet. I dodged.
Got a point, Ruby!
There were no cheers from the crowd. Was I making it look too easy?
Stay away, Ruby!
A lightning bolt suddenly shot out of an eye in its forehead. It zapped so close my disc went spinning in circles.
Hang on, Ruby.
I just had time to duck as a second bolt shot out of another eye. The problem was, I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Watch the tongue, Ruby!
Demon's forked tongue flicked out and wrapped around my disc.
Yeah, watch it, Ruby!
Drawing the disc and me back into its gaping mouth, a mouth lined with molars the size of moving vans. I'd seen what it had done to the robots, grinding them into scrap metal, but I couldn't get free of that sticky tongue.
Come on, Ruby!
I was swatting at my remote suit, trying to figure out what move would unstick that tongue, but nothing was working.
Button!
The mouth opened wide and in I went, disc and all.
Oh,
the molars clamped down with a thundering crash. As I ducked the crunching molars, I saw a button flashing on the disc. I stepped on it. The disc whined and then put out one hell of a jolt. It shocked the tongue, the mouth snapped open, and I was spit out.
Oh, there she comes.
I tumbled through the air, still stuck to the disc as the mouth roared fireballs at me. I dodged the fireballs, racking up enough points for the mouth to finally snap shut as steam hissed from its nose and ears. And then, the head vanished.
You beat that sucker, Ruby!
And that was it. Game over. The Alubu sat there, stunned.
Let's hear for the invincible, the indestructible, the absolutely incredible queen of the cosmos, Ruby!
Gosh, that was wonderful, Ruby.
I don't know about this game, Andor.
Whew. I'm certain you'll find it easier tomorrow.
You mean I have to do this every night?
No, not every night.
Good.
There are afternoon matinees.
Great.
But once you're familiar with the routine, you'll be able to practically do it in your sleep.
Oh, yeah? Hey, who's that laid out over there?
That's Flat Kapoor.
Is he alive?
I think so.
Okay, I gotta change. The next day, I received about 100 invitations to some of the influential families on Alubuwa. So, things were working out as Oop Oop had planned. But when do things ever work out as planned? Well, not only were the houses open to me, so were the people. They appeared to have nothing to hide. There was the usual small talk, questions about old Earth, where we came from. Monkeys, I told them. That seemed to explain a lot to them. The Alubus believe they came from seeds. They were seeded on this planet, which makes sense for pear people. By this time, I could step in and out of their Nak'Kree, their energy field. Sometimes I'd ask a pointed question that would send a ripple through their bubble. I'd pretend innocence as I slowed time. To them, a second or two had passed, but for me, minutes ticked away as I followed that ripple.